Minister Killings, hope. Hope is an expected or desired end. You don't hope for things that you already have. Neither do you hope for things that are destructive or things that would be painful. You always hope for something good and something better, an expected end. And so in the midst of everything that goes on, you still believe God for better. Hallelujah. Glory. Because in the end, it's going to be better. It's going to be better for all eternity. But we just keep on moving by faith, and we go from glory to glory, faith to faith, strength to strength. We continue to say those words because we want those words to resonate within your heart, within your mind, within your soul. We're not weakening. We're gaining strength. We're not in retreat. We are advancing. We're pressing on. Even when things are going against us, and it seems like they are overwhelming and about to wipe us out, we don't let it wipe us out, because if we still got breath in this body, we still got fight in our spirit. Hallelujah! That's better than some of your responses, because obviously you've been beaten down so long, you don't have a fight in your spirit. But I'm telling you, you're on the Lord's side. You're on the winning side. You're not in the loser's corner. Praise God. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. How about you? Yeah, we used to sing that song. Some of you don't remember. You probably never sung it. But it was, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Ha! Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise God. Those were some, yeah, praise God. They get you going. Amen. You come to church on Sunday morning, and you get in that service, and you start singing and praying with my mind. You know, you're just going. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of y'all don't have a clue. Bless God. You missed out on a lot of good stuff. Hallelujah. You know, that's why they got to keep coming up with these, because they know the songs can't carry the anointing for a length of time. But there are some songs that have been given that have just carried the anointing. That's why we can still sing about the blood, and the power within it just continues to come through. And, you know, this generation, we come with this bebop stuff. I'm not criticizing today's praise and worship, but I'm just saying that stuff, it can't go on for, you sing it for a month and it's out of style, old-fashioned. It's like, can we get something new? Hallelujah. I mean, you have to put it back in the records for about 3 months and then bring it out again, you know, to fire you up again, because I'm telling you, after 30 days, it's like, okay, are we going to do that song again? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Did God reduce the man's age or what? Let me be serious. It's wonderful to be with you today. Hallelujah. Glory. It's wonderful to be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. All right. Thank you for the information. I rejoice in Jesus. Okay. How many of you were with us on Sunday evening to go into 2018? Did you have a blessed time? I did. I'm telling you. We had a blessed time in here. I don't say that to make anybody feel bad that didn't show up. We won't throw eggs at you or tomatoes or anything like that. But we had a blessed time. It's a good turnout, too. And then went in fellowship down at the MP room. But God is just, he's awesome. And the words that I've shared with you thus far, don't take it lightly or for granted. Don't take it like you do the post every Sunday. Some of you don't read it and stuff. And I'm not angry or upset with you that you don't read it. I'm not mad that you don't read it. I'm not disappointed that you don't read it. But don't take this lightly or for granted about the crowning of this year. It's not a selfish thing. And it's really not all about you or me or any of us individually. But this is about you in this season and hour. Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, let's go there real quick. We can get some offering baskets up here, and anytime the Lord puts it in your heart to come forth with an offering, by all means, do so. If you have to leave early, you know, go ahead and bring an offering before the Lord. If you weren't here Sunday evening going into 2018, you didn't get an opportunity to bring your first offering unto the Lord. Some call it a first fruit offering, you know, because it's the first of the year, if you will. There's actually a first fruit season of celebration. You can prepare that. But the word that God has given concerning this, it's not just some corny positive confession or motivational speaking. It's like God's revealing what he is doing. And when he said 2018 is crowning, 2017 is coming to a close, but 2018 is crowning. And it's like it's coming, but it's coming like a baby. But it's loaded and pregnant with opportunities for God's people. The world will be blessed, but it's because of God's people in the earth. Favor is to come upon you in ways that you have not experienced favor before. If you can receive it, if you can receive it, it will work for you. But if you just have the mindset of, well, we heard that before type stuff, or, you know, you don't know what I'm dealing with or what I'm going through, or you parked at, well, I'm already happy and content. You cannot be content. There's too many sinners out there going to hell for you to be content. And many of them are our loved ones and our relatives. And if we're content with them going to hell, shame on us. Because it's our dad's will, and you heard me say this time and time again. It's not like I run out of things to say, but when it just comes up, I just release it. It is dad's will that none perish but all come to repentance. And so you cannot get to the place where it's enough, I'm satisfied, I'm content. Not as long as there's sinners that are going into hell. And as long as you are on this earth as a child of God, every day matters. Because you represent the King. You represent the kingdom of God in the earth. You are the vessel that God uses in order to get his will accomplished in the earth. No matter how large and responsible it may be, or how small and insignificant it might seem, nothing is really insignificant in the kingdom of God. Every component is important. It's just like in our physical bodies. Our bodies have parts and components within itself that we could go on without, but God saw fit to put in. In other words, we don't need everything. Anybody in here had an appendix removed? One, two, three. And you're still alive. Amen? We have not had your funeral yet. So you're still alive. So your body can still go on with those parts. Nevertheless, God put that part in you. And so the body of Christ as a whole can go on without all of the saints of God actively doing their part, contributing their share. But you're there for a reason. Each and every one of us. By divine purpose and counsel of God. When you got saved, I know there's a lot of movement, but don't be moved by the movement. Listen to the voice within the voice. When you got saved, you came into the reason that you came through your mother's womb, your daddy's loins, and nobody else came into your place or came in your place. You are you, and you are here because of God's infinite wisdom, counsel, and divine appointment. Because you think of it, you were born whenever year you were born, in this probably 19 or, you know, was it 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, or 2000. I don't know if there's anybody in here right now that's 17 and under. I think they all left, with the exception of the little babies. But you're here because God saw fit that you'd be here. And he saw fit that you'd be here at this time. Not in the times of Noah. You'd have been long gone. Hopefully you would have gotten that ark with Noah. All we know is that there were only eight. You know, so the rest of them perished. You weren't born in the days of Lot, where only four and then one perished on the way because they disobeyed the commands of the Lord. God consumed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire, hail, brimstone being poured on them, upon them in judgment. You weren't born during that time. You weren't born during the times of Moses, under 400 years of Egyptian slavery and bondage. You were not born during the times of King David. You were not born during the times of the prophets Micah, Samuel, Obadiah, those names, you know, in pronouncing them, Joel, Daniel, Ezekiel. You weren't born in those times. You were not born in the times when Jesus walked the face of this earth. You could have been at any given time. God could have brought you through somebody else's loins, somebody else's womb. But yet he chose to have you come through the womb that you came for. And he chose a time that you would come on this earth. That's how awesome our God is. We may have been a shock to our parents, but we were not a shock to God. And the day that you got born again, you came into the reason why you were born and somebody else wasn't born in your place. That's awesome to me. Because that's just how intricate, that's just how detailed, that's just how awesome our God is. If he knows the very number of the hairs on our head, if he knows the number of tears that we cried and have held them in a bottle, surely he knows when we would be born. He ordained it to be so. And if he causes Jesus to tarry, generations will come in our place. And it could be for thousands of years. It could be for only 1 year. But he'll know that generation too, afar off and near. And he will have ordained that they would come forth at that time. And it's God's will that everyone that is born in this earth be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth, that they may have eternal life. And every generation of the church is privileged to carry the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying generation, to a perishing generation. We live in some crazy times. California is excited because they finally legalized recreational use of marijuana. Our automatic response is to frown up on it, and rightly so. We know it's a drug, and it's a harmful drug. You may get high, but eventually that high goes down, and you got to get high again, just like you drink. You got to drink, and then it wears off. You got to drink again, and then it wears off, dot, dot, dot. Some of us have been there. Some of us may have never been there. But for those of us who have, we're so thankful. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that I got delivered from all of that mess. I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. Glory. Leaving no traces of that stuff any longer. We see how detrimental it can be. I don't know about you, but I know the effects of it. and for them to legalize it for pleasure, there's an underlying agenda. Because all it does is trap people. And who are those people that are going to be going to buy it for pleasure? People who don't have much anyways. They're just trying to hold on to something. Something that will deaden their pain. Something that will help them to cope with life. All of these things simply supplant what God is able to do with none of those things. Hallelujah. And here we are at this critical time and moment in our nation, in our state. California is going wilder. In our own cities. And God has come to us as the life and the light of men, and says, let your light shine in the midst of all this darkness. Don't go and hide. Don't let them muzzle your mouth. Shine. Let the glory of the Lord radiate through you in character, in nature. Let it radiate through you in speech. Let it radiate through you in the way you live. Let that light shine. Don't flip the switch off. Keep the switch on. Don't worry about the PG&E of this bill. It's already been paid for. Hallelujah. You can keep that light on now 24/7, 365 and a quarter days every year. You can do it. For the glory of God. Let him use you for his glory, for his purpose. That's why you're alive and not dead. That's why you're here and not somewhere else. I can't think of a better place to be than the house of God now. Hallelujah. Been saved too long, know too much to want to go back to the mess, the muck, the mire, the vomit, the muddy stuff. Been saved just too long, praise God. Don't you miss it? I don't miss a thing about it. I found out I can have joy and fun in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Sometimes I have to bridle it, Brother Joseph. I thank you for that, amen. Sometimes I have to cut it off because I don't want people to misunderstand who I am in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Because I like to joke and things like that, and I just like to have fun. But then there's a seriousness about our walk and relationship, first with God and then with each other. Understand that we're held accountable for the deeds that we do in this body. Understand that some may think that you can just do any old thing and just be, you know, and it's like, we're free. We got grace. We're free. Hallelujah. We're free. We ain't in bondage. Oh, you're too legalistic. No, I'm more realistic. According to the word of God. I don't think that I'm perfect, but I'm striving for perfection. I don't just speak for myself. Hopefully, I'm speaking for you as well, that's how we lead our lives, living on purpose for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's just our life. Some people can't handle it. It's just too much for me. It's just too strong. I'm like, man, what do you mean too strong? This is not strong enough. Come on. I went to visit Uncle Jim, Brother Charles' uncle. I went to visit just to go and pray with him. He asked me to come and pray for him. I want to pray for him because I wanted God to raise him up, heal him, deliver him. You know, and until we see the dead being raised, until we see the blind seeing, until we see the deaf hearing, if you will, and the lame getting up and walking, if you will, people getting up out of wheelchairs, we ain't strong enough. We haven't died enough to ourselves. The generation of the church that thinks that the glorious days of the church are over is a generation of the church that's already dead. And are hindering the power of God from manifesting in the earth once again. It takes a people that are tired of the religious status quo of things, of just doing the normal things and seeing nothing happen and just going through life as if there is no God. even though we believe that there's a God. Well, he doesn't do that anymore. Well, why did he stop? Because people are still sick. People are still dying. People are still full of devils. We call it mental health issues. Some of it is nothing more than a demon. We read God's word and we see the exact thing that we see in the word. We see happen in the lives of people, and then we let some uncircumcised, educated Philistine tell us some medical terms that they probably just conjured up themselves or read from somebody else's study and say, this is the case here. I'm like, what in the world do they get some of these names to describe these cases or these medical conditions that they put on people? You know, Adam named all of the animals, so I can understand how God gives us the ability to be able to name something, and God says that's exactly what it is. That's a monkey. Yep, that's a hippopotamus. Yep, that's a rhinoceros. Yep, that's a giraffe. Yep, that's an ape. Yep, that's a duck. Quack, quack. Yep. Whatever Adam called it, that's what it was. And so they come up with these names. And Jesus would say something like this: come out of him, you unclean spirit. Praise God. Then there would be times where, what is your name?
Legion, for we are many.
That was me pretending, okay? Yeah. And Jesus would come. The demons had such respect for Jesus.
Command us to go into these pigs.
Go. How do we know they went? Because the pigs committed suicide. They went and ran over the cliff into the pool, into the lake, and drowned every one of them. So a lot of these conditions that we call medical, mental health issues and all, it's nothing more than just a demon. We medicate the person, but you can't medicate the demon. So when the medication wears off, the person is, you know, having to still deal with that demon. And they would make us look like something's wrong with us because we say, come out in Jesus' name. Or you need to be more sensitive to the situation. So, but we're the Church of the Living God. We are the 2018 Church of the Living God, the one that began on the day of Pentecost about 2,000 years ago. We are them now. Please say that with me. We are them now. We are them now. We are them now. We are them now. Do you really believe that? We are them now. Hallelujah. And we're not them just on Wednesday and Sunday. You know, we're them 7 days a week. We are them. I'm not going to throw, you know, a noose around your neck and say, okay, we got to have church every day. Y'all got to come to church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And Sunday, twice on Sunday. But they were so caught up into the things of God. It was their life. It was their life. And they lived on the edge of what Jesus taught them, which was be ready. Watch and pray. Be ready. For you don't know the hour or the time when the Son of Man will come. But be ready. If the owner of the house knew when the thief would break in and steal, he would have been there to be ready. You don't know the time, the day, the hour. But always be ready. Not out of fear. Because that's not what God's trying to do. He's not trying. I'm going to frighten them. I'm going to scare them to death. I'm going to remind them of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm going to do it to you, you evil sinner. Hey, he's not doing that. He's like, I love you. Yeah, let's hang out every day. Praise God. Let's spend time together. Let's koinonia. Let's fellowship. Hallelujah. And out of that relationship comes that maturity from just a technon to a weos. In other words, not just settling for the birth, but now from the birth, taking on the character and nature of your daddy and reflecting him in the earth. That's it. And loving it every day. Not because somebody's beating you over the head. You ought to come to church. You ought to pray. You ought to read your Bible. No, you ought to fall in love with Jesus. I used to sing a song, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever. Yeah, there you go. All right. Praise God. We got some people out there that know the song. Amen. Falling in love with Jesus on a daily basis. Hallelujah. You know, especially singles. And I say especially singles because those that have a desire to be married, and there's nothing wrong with that. But having a desire to be married, you want to share your heart, share your love with someone. Of course, Jesus will fill that void if you'll allow him to. But as husbands and wives get a chance to, an opportunity to share their love with each other every day, that's what dad wants. I mean, Pastor Lucy, I don't expect me to just love her on Sunday when we're before people. Oh, I love you so much. As a matter of fact, she tries to get me to go overboard before the people, but I try and, you know, refrain and restrain myself because it's sacred. Hallelujah. But if I only loved her when I was before people, that's not true love. That's hypocrisy. It's in privacy when no one else is around. Integrity is not what you do before people. It's what you do in private. That's integrity. Because if you can keep yourself in private when nobody else is around, nobody else is looking, you always know that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So God is watching. But in the privacy when nobody else is around and you still conduct yourself upright before God, that's integrity. So then it's no problem when you're before people. Jesus said it's the secret place that matters most. Because what I reveal to you in secret, I'll reward you, you know, openly. And you'll be able to declare some things openly. But it's that secret place that he wants with his sons and daughters. It's like just a little bit of transparency. Not much, but just, you know, it's the privacy. It's not the public that really matters. And I'm just using us as an illustration, an example. It's the privacy that we share with each other. That's most important. Because you can share everything openly. And mind you, the church is, praise God, the body of Christ. Gotta love the church. Amen? Gotta love the body of Christ. Even when sometimes we may say some things, trying to correct ourselves or trying to get to a certain place or just pointing out some of the wrong and stuff that we do. But, you know, there are some, they're married. And, you know, in the service, in the congregation, they act like everything is hunky-dory. Everything is good. But then they get home and the husband beats the wife or the wife is, you know, the husband wants to dwell on the rooftop because he's got a contentious wife down there who's just, yeah, amen. But the integrity in that secret place is where it counts. That's why if there are any of you who are married and you're having trouble in your marriage, you're not seeing things from God's perspective. God will enable you to love the unlovable. Hallelujah. And if your wife or your husband is unlovable, God will give you the love to love them and all of that unloveliness about them. Yeah. Dad doesn't run out of anything, especially love, because that's him. God is love. Hallelujah. Anybody took algebra? Okay, then you know it. And some of you say, no, that's okay. But for those of you who took algebra, the word is equivalent to what? It just gave you a hint. Yeah, thank you. The word is equivalent to equal. So you can say capital G, not the small, O, D, equals love, or G, O, D, I, S, love. Same thing. God is love. God equals love. You don't have love until you have God. So he'll never run out of it. He pours it out lavishly upon us by way of the Holy Ghost. Jude said it like this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves where? Hallelujah. Did you know tongues will help you stay in love? Help you stay in love with God. Help you stay in love with the saints. Help you stay in love with your spouse. Help you stay in love with your children. Yeah. Hallelujah. And children can be very testy. Praise God. But God gives you the ability to love them in truth. Be honest and straightforward with them. And they know whether you love them or not. They know. If you let them get away with everything, they know you don't love me that much. Because they just run over you. They think you're a friend and not a parent. But you correct them and let them know when they're wrong. Even if they don't come around you. Even if they keep the grandkids away from you. Go ahead. Does it hurt? Yeah. But that's okay. At least you know where I stand. And you know it's true love. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So with the offering, for those of you who presented, you know, a 2018 offering or just your normal Wednesday night, this is a new year. Sow into the year. Sow into the word that is given concerning the year. I don't know anybody who doesn't want to accomplish some great things. I don't know anybody who does not want, well, I shouldn't say I don't know anybody. There are people that don't want anything in life. And so they live it as such. They're not motivated to do anything. They will take handouts daily. But to get up, move, and do something, to make something happen, they don't have that initiative. They don't have that drive. They don't have that incentive. They just sit back and just watch life go by. And you can't, not in this year. You may have gotten by last year, but this year you're either going to get upset and angry and walk out of here and not return, or you're going to get engaged in what's happening, and you're going to take advantage of every day, seize every moment, and you're going to be working on things, and you're not going to be discouraged by a no, because a no to you is simply a delayed yes. It's not that you went and met the wrong person. It's just that the person didn't receive or didn't see the blessing you were coming to them. But since they said no, somebody else has got a yes in their mouth, and so you're going to just seize every day and every opportunity that it brings and take advantage. And then you'll find that it's better to be productive than it is to be non-productive. It's better to work at something and strive for something than to sit down and settle for just anything or nothing. Does that make sense? I hope I said it correctly. But it's better to go after something. It's better to go after something and fail than it is to sit back and just hope and think and desire, but never move on anything to make it happen. I'm just going to sit back and just, and when I say this with careful consideration that my words could easily be twisted, but stay with me. Because this is no disrespect to God, and neither is it a disrespect to the faith of God's people. But we have that mindset, I'm just going to wait on God. Now, waiting on the Lord is absolutely necessary for a child of God. Waiting patiently on God. It's absolutely necessary, because if you ain't got no patience to wait on God, you ain't going to last very long. Sometimes God will have you wait in order to see your diligence, your faithfulness, your sincerity in Him. It's like a purging, pruning process. But He's not going to let you down. He's not going to fail you. But in the waiting, while you're waiting, you don't lose your song, you don't lose your faith, you don't lose your momentum. I'll just use that word. You don't lose your diligence. You don't lose anything as far as the character and nature of God. As a matter of fact, it gets refined and it gets perfected while waiting. You praise Him and you thank Him and you wait on Him. All the while you are actively being responsible over the things that has been entrusted to you up to this point. Because why is God going to entrust us with more if we have not been faithful over what He's already given to us? Jesus is like this. How can you expect? I'm paraphrasing, okay? I'm trying to say it like He says it. Jesus is like, who is going to give you your own when you haven't been faithful over another man's work? You may want your own, but if you're not faithful here, God is saying, if you're not faithful here over another man's goods, if you will, you won't be faithful over here with your own. But also, it's like this. I said that you won't be faithful over your own. But Jesus is like, if you're not faithful here, why am I going to all of a sudden make you ruler over here or bless you here where you want to be? Why am I going to do that? No, first prove yourself faithful just in the little. If that man who only had received the one talent, or that man who had only received, if you will, the one, what's the word? It's not talent. Oh, it is talent. Minus is it. Depends on where you're from. Okay. Y'all stay with me. To one he gave five, to one he gave two, and to one he gave one. Everybody remember that? So, he was expecting that one to go out and double. Just like the one with the two went out and double. Just like the one with the five went out and double. He was expecting that because he only gave it to them according to their ability. Now, if the one could have handled the five, he would have given him five. But he could only handle one. And he proved himself unfaithful in that. So why would God now promote and give him something else? Because if we're not faithful over a little, we won't be faithful over much. I can't afford to tithe now. I only make $300. Well, guess what? That mindset will mature with you. Come on. That mindset will mature with you. What do you mean by that? If you don't kill that thing now while you're a steward over 300, that thing will mature and get stronger when it's 300,000. And you will find everything to put that money into except for God. And it will always be, I can't afford to. I've got too much responsibility. Faithful over little makes us ruler over much. Guess what? We are stewards over this house. This is now God's house, and we are stewards over it. Hallelujah. How we spend our life and how we spend our days, it may not matter much to us because we're used to going through aimlessly and doing things anyways, but it matters much to God. And God has not only saved us, but given us eternal life. And he's now allowing us to be good stewards over this house, if you will. If we do well, we will fare well. If we do bad, we will fare bad. Nobody in this tabernacle wants to fare bad. Therefore, we have to be good stewards over this house. Govern it the way God would govern it. Because see, Jesus is Lord over this body, over this spirit, over this soul. He is Lord. But I still have stewardship over this body. I can ignore his lordship and take this body, take this spirit, take this soul. Did you not know that you can contaminate your spirit as well? Paul said it like this. Therefore, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, if you will, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. No, it's chapter 7. Let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. So I can take this body and I can do all sorts of things with it. Or I can do the thing that God would do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that's good stuff. Choose God. Naveo was asking me, Papa, what's that saying? How does it go? Is it what would God do or what would Jesus do? And I said, well, it's WWJD. It's what would Jesus do? And so then she went into some different questions, but that's not important. But the thing of it is it's like, okay, all right, this is 2018. What would God do in this body? What would God do with this life? Because he's in me. His presence is with me. His anointing is on me. What would he do? And then do it. Hallelujah. You don't need the bracelet. Amen? You don't need the bracelet to tell you. You're woman enough. You're man enough. You can read. You can study. You can understand. You got comprehension. You don't need the bracelet to tell you, you know, to remind you what would Jesus do. No, in your heart, in your mind, your soul. What would Jesus do with this body? Hallelujah. Where am I going to carry this body to today? I know I've got to go to work. Okay, so I'm going to work. Praise God. How would Jesus go into this workplace? Would he go in there and start turning over the tables and stuff like that? Oh, you heathen, you're going to hell. No, he wouldn't do that. He'd probably do that at TFT. Praise God. When I say TFT, I'm talking about church. I just used us rather than saying some other church so we don't get labeled for, you know, talking about other churches, if you will. But, you know, how's he going to be on this job? You know, he came to light me up. I don't hate it. But it's like you, as you're ministering and then you hear something and it's like, how many of you remember that song? I don't even know who wrote it. You light up my life. I'm in a singing mode tonight. Praise God. Huh? Who did the song? I want to say Olivia Newton-John, but I don't think it was her. Was it her? Who? Was it Debbie Boone? Come on. Love you, Brother Ed. Praise God. All right, Pat Boone's daughter. But, you know, it's like, Jesus, you light up my life. I don't know the other words. I just remember that part. But you light up my life. And so let me let that light shine. Now, some people will use charisma, you know, to influence people and attract people to themselves. They'll use that. Some will even go so far as to prostitute God's anointing in order for their own selfish gain. But our lives are to reflect the glory of God. And it's like, I want to do this for your glory, Master. I want people to see you. I don't need them to see me. I just need them to see you. Because if they see you, they'll see me, that I am in you and you are in me. Because I don't want them to see me like the old me. You know, because that's how people will see you, especially those that are familiar with you and been around you a long time. All they see is the old you. I remember when. And when it's been so long ago, it's like, how about now? So you want them to see Christ in everything you do. So when you go into the job, into the workplace, you go in there to light up the place. It's already filled with darkness. You know, they're a reflection of the world. Unless you have a Christian boss like Brother Joshua, you come to Thermal Comfort and it's lit. Amen, Brother Joshua? Praise God. Lit or you're fired. Praise God. That's good. That's good. You got to come to QLM. I do? Yeah. Every Monday, you got to come to QLM. Okay, if you can't come to QLM, then I'm... Yeah. Praise God. Those are some requirements. But anyways, I'm not trying to waste your time. Neither am I trying to waste mine or God's time. But this is us, you know. This is us, 2018, if you will. Living on purpose for the glory of God, looking to let him shine through us. Jesus said it like this, that men may see you and see the good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If all people do is speak highly of you, then go in the closet and check yourself. Lord, why are they, I'm giving you the glory, or am I giving you the glory? Because I want them to see you. Hallelujah. They're already in darkness. They need light. They don't need you to try and blend in with them and be a chameleon. And, you know, when I'm in there with them, I'm like them. When I'm out here with the saints, I'm like the saints. And they get confused by that. No, you're on. PG&E bill is paid in full. Keep the lights on. Hallelujah. Keep the heat on. Glory to God. Keep the AC on. Hallelujah. Keep the gas going. You know, all of it is paid. Everything that you do in Christ Jesus is paid for by his precious blood. Stand to your feet. Has everyone given? That's going to give. Praise God. We may not see some of you Sunday, so we'll take this opportunity that anybody right now who wants to have hands laid on them, come on up here. We'll lay hands on you. For this year, 2018, we're already into the third day of this year, and we didn't get a chance to lay hands Sunday evening, which was actually Monday morning, but we'll take that time now. So if you desire, then come on up. If you don't, then, you know, you can be dismissed, and nobody's going to force you. You want an anointing for 2018. To walk in, to live in, to glorify God. You want that word to come alive in you. Hallelujah. Don't take it for granted. Receive. Hallelujah. Praise God.